you failed. You had a fight with your husband. You're disqualified from coming before God in worship for 3 days. That's it. 3 days. You're in the penalty box. You know, and we believe the lie. Yeah, I'm a loser. And we withdraw from the presence of God as if somehow that very thing that would be our saving grace, if we avoid it, somehow we'll feel better about ourselves, right? And so the enemy is using a tool, a deceptive tool, to lie to believers to keep us from fulfilling the vision and purpose of God, saying, you don't have a right to worship. And you can take force to say, yes, I do. I stand in the presence of God because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is mine. And finally, he says there in the rest of verse 2, he says, will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are? In other words, he says, with the feeble nature of what they have, the materials they have, he's mocking that they don't have what it takes to get the job done, right? He's saying, you don't have what it takes. You can't get the job done. You're nothing. You're a nobody. Anybody ever thought that about yourself? Anybody ever heard that from maybe a relative at some point in your life? It was the mouth of the enemy speaking through them, right? You're nothing. You're nobody. You don't have what it takes. And God is saying, I've put my seed within your heart. And we know the scripture in Philippians, right? Philippians 4:13, you know that scripture? Whoops, where did it go? Come back. There we go. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. There's nothing that's impossible to him who believes. As I put my confidence in Christ, I know that he's equipped me with every good gift for the work that he's called me to accomplish. Folks, there's always opposition. There's always going to be that oppressive nature. It's up to us to confess. We don't stand alone, to resolve to worship God, to adopt this mindset that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is what Nehemiah begins to propagate. A couple other things I want to highlight in this chapter. Look at the response of Nehemiah and the response as you go on through these verses. There it is. A response of faith and purity of heart. Look at right in verse 4. He starts out and he says, hear us, O God, for we are despised. It's the lie of the enemy, right? We're despised by the evil one. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Don't cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, Lord. They've thrown insults in the face of our builders. So we rebuilt the wall, verse 6, till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. In other words, there's a clear picture here of what we've been talking about, that our battle is not with a human being, right? Our battle isn't even with the government. As difficult as that may believe, right? Our battle is not even with political leaders or political parties or anything. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. But as Ephesians 6 tells us, against principalities, powers, spiritual rulers in the heavenly places that exalt themselves against the nature of God. And that's what we're fighting. We're fighting a spiritual battle that we can't see. And we're fighting an enemy that we can't see. And so we need weapons that we can't see as well. Weapons of faith. Weapons of purity. Weapons of his power. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. How many of you heard maybe earlier in the month about the lawsuit that Planned Parenthood just won? They won a $2.2 million lawsuit against an organization. And the organization's name is the Center for Medical Progress. And what it was the guy who took secret videos in Planned Parenthood of what they do in propagating, selling fetal parts. Remember the story? Happened years ago. And so Planned Parenthood, they had somebody on camera. And unfortunately for the guy in the Center of Medical Progress, obviously he didn't have permission to videotape. And that's where the lawsuit came about. But you know what's interesting about the lawsuit? Nowhere, if you look through all the court documents and everything, nowhere in the documentation of the lawsuit does Planned Parenthood ever defend what they were doing. They don't have to, they think, you know, because he is violating our rights by videoing us. But what was uncovered on the video was so revelatory of what the nature of Planned Parenthood is doing. that you would think that every media outlet would highlight, and this would be the story. Every media highlight, Planned Parenthood selling fetal tissue, right? That would be the highlight. No, the highlight is Christian, or whatever you want to call them, person illegally obtaining video of conversations, right? So let me ask this question. Do we wrestle with flesh and blood? Is this a battle that we're having just in our legal system? And there are principalities and powers, forces of hell, that never want to see the abortion industry overturned. The devil wants to kill and offer sacrifices of human life. And you know what's so destructive? And Bishop Wooden of the Upper Room Church of God quotes the statistics. If you go to the abortion clinic on Saturday morning, the black population in America is being decimated more than any other population by this atrocity of abortion. It is. Where do they set up the clinics? In neighborhoods to appeal to the black population. Because the devil knows, if I can destroy a race, if I can take out a race, I can take out the leadership, the brightest minds, the most brilliant people. If I can destroy them, I'll have the nation. And 60 million babies later, right? 60 million human sacrifices later. Here we are as a nation. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. This is a battle that goes so far beyond our humanity. Principalities, power, spiritual forces of wickedness. Now, it's not popular to talk about demons in our Western culture. You know, we're such brilliant scientific minds. We've accomplished so much. We have all this prestige and accomplishment, and our universities are so prestigious and all that. Demons? What are you talking about, demons? The Bible talks about them very clearly, repeatedly, over and over again. Jesus encountered them. We encounter them, and we don't even know it. But if you go into some other cultures, you would find they know demons are real. Oh man, God, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so he urges us in Ephesians 6, the importance of putting on the armor of God, the supernatural armor of God daily. How many of you do that as a practice? Do you do that as a practice in your prayer life? If you don't, I encourage you. Do it every day. I do it in my morning prayer time. I pray through the Our Father, and I do some worship and prayer intercession. I get to that, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I'll just go through and put on the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. I'm righteous in Christ. Make that declaration, the helmet of salvation. I put on that helmet of salvation, knowing that I'm saved. My name's written in the book of life. The shield of faith. Quench the fiery darts of the evil one, because he's going to be shooting them at me today. He's going to be shooting them at you today. Don't you need your protection? The belt of truth, to walk in integrity and honesty before the Lord everywhere you go, and to speak the truth and to speak it in love, the readiness of the gospel of peace, to be prepared to give an account for the hope that's within me with gentleness and peace, and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's my offensive weapon, man. I'm going after it, right? How about you? We need the supernatural armor of God, the protection that he's given us to fight this battle. And in essence, Nehemiah is saying, put on the armor of God, people. We got to fight. He goes on to talk about his prayer being heard, for God to judge the enemy. In essence, it says there, in that sense, that God's people had a heart to work. They maintained an undefiled, a pure heart. This was their desire, not to let their heart be stained by the world or by worldliness. As 2 Corinthians 11 says, to maintain an undefiled, pure heart, as Proverbs 4 says, to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And so Nehemiah is challenging the people, watch your heart, guard yourself, be careful. One of the things that Bishop Wooden shared at our abortion rally that last 40th week at the clinic at Drake Circle up there in Raleigh was, he said that we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, right? That's the scripture. We can't fight with the weapons that the abortion industry fights with. We can't fight the same battle. We have to fight our battle in prayer and humility, but with wisdom. And he gave an illustration during that time of how we do that. He said at one point, the woman that was working as one of the escorts at the clinic got among some of the black men that were right around, because there was a number of black men that were right around the entry. And she took a selfie around them, just trying to be, strategic. And then she posted something and she brought it to the courts. I feel threatened. She walked into their circle, took a selfie among men that were praying, saying loving things, casting vision and trying to say, we want to help those women that are going into the clinic. And she said, I feel threatened. So Bishop Wooden, wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, took a picture. And he brought the picture. He had it blown up on, oh man, the biggest poster board you could find. It was probably this big. And he brought it to the courtroom. And it was a picture of this same woman wearing a shirt saying, I had an abortion. And she was doing some kind of foul thing with a T-shirt. I won't even go into the description. You get the idea. Just foul picture. And he said, Your Honor, he said, if we're harassing, is this the face of a harassed victim? You know, and the judge was looking and saying, that's disgraceful. That's disgusting. Wise as serpents, innocence as doves. We don't fight a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. We need God's wisdom and we need His strategy and we need a pure heart. The way to solve the abortion industry isn't to blow up clinics. It isn't to harass people. It's to lovingly preach the gospel and offer a way of rescue. It's the way out for those that are trapped in homosexuality. It's the way out for those that are trapped in heterosexuality relationships that are outside of marriage. It's the way out for every one of us to plead with them with the love of God and the truth of the gospel. And so Nehemiah here is talking about maintaining a heart of faith and a heart of purity. We don't want to play by the enemy's rules, right? The last thing I wanted to highlight this morning, and we'll close with this, is as Nehemiah begins to develop this, God gives us a vision. God gives us a purpose. We're called to reach the community that He begins to reveal His strategy, right? That He begins to reveal, God gives us a strategy to overcome. And look at the way that it's detailed. And we don't have time to read it all, but I said to the nobles, the officials, the work is extensive and spread out. We're widely separated from each other along the wall. Verse 20, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. So we continued the work, one holding the spear and one holding the shovel, if you will, and digging and building together and God giving the strategy. Because the greater the vision, the greater the opposition. And the enemy just begins to rise up and torque up the intensity of the battle. But as we look at that, the weakening in the battle it happens when the church gets isolated, doesn't it? And you even see it there in one of the verses where he talks about we're feeling alone. And so he says, what we need is a strategy. We're going to blow the trumpet. And when we blow the trumpet, we're all going to charity. We're all going to Chelsea. Sorry. We're all going to Chelsea. And Jamie's part of the wall. Forgive me. Jamie's part of the wall. We're all coming. Everybody come. And then when we're done there, we're going to help build and defend. Then we're going over to Jeff and Allison's part of the wall. Everybody blow the trumpet together. And then Josh and Tiffany's part of the wall. We're going. And then Ron and Fran's part of the wall. We're going. Ben and Nadia, we're going over to your part of the wall and your whole family. And we're going to build together. We're going to support each other. And so it's a developing a wise strategy, a strategic plan of the church coming together. It's instilling a culture of positive faith. Where people are rising up in their mission, in their calling. You remember we did a series in the book of Esther, right? And here was Esther, this beautiful woman, a Jew, who nobody knew her heritage except for her uncle Mordecai, right? But she was set apart for such a time as this. And so she went through her beauty treatments and she did all that she had to do just to be positioned for the time of rescue of her people. And when the edict came to destroy the Jewish people, she risked her life to go in there, functioning as a queen, but functioning as a servant. See, God puts us in positions for such a time as this. He equips us with the tools and the giftings, and He surrounds us in the places where He's put us so that we can have the influence in that place that He's designed for us to have. You know it. You're an ambassador in that hospital, aren't you? You're called to be a witness to every patient. How you do that, you have to be strategic. But you're an ambassador, right? In the marketplace, you're an ambassador. You're on a secret mission. Every day, you're called. Every day. And so this strategy of building a culture of positive faith, adopting a kingdom focus to complete God's mission. It's every one of us functioning in our gifts. Every one of us being obedient to our calling. Every one of us being needed along that wall. two Olympians that have won a number of medals, probably one, every one of us in this room has heard of, probably the other, maybe none of us, or maybe one or two of us might have heard of. The first one I'd call out is Michael Phelps. Anybody know who Michael Phelps is? Famous swimmer. How many gold medals has he won? A lot. Thank you. I don't know the total right now. The other, though, is a Moroccan runner that has won two gold medals. His name is Hicham El Guraj, if I said that right. You know who he is? Somebody knows. Moroccan runner, two gold medals. Amazing how these two gentlemen are so differently built. You know, when you look at this Moroccan runner, he's got these long, thin legs and a skinnier body and kind of just glides through the air as he, and then you got Phelps who's, you know, got more of a tank top, you know, in this and just, but what they're geared to do when they think about the build to accomplish, they've been so successful at using the gifts God's equipped them with to win gold, to accomplish his mission, his purpose. Some of us are built more like Michael Phelps than the runner. I can't say his name again. Some of us are built maybe like the weightlifter that's going to win the gold. And some of us are built maybe like we're the speedster that's good. But every one of us has a set of gifts that God's deposited within us, abilities that he's put within us. And Nehemiah says, this is the time, guys. I'm going to blow the trumpet. We're all going to come together to this part of the wall. We're all going to build together. And we're going to have some defending while some are building, working together. In a sense, it's like saying what I said before, that he's calling the church to pray and to fast together and to have each other's backs, to care for one another in that way, because the only way we're going to see the enemy defeated is as we open our lives to one another. Transparency, vulnerability, honesty. I need help. This wall is too much for me to build by myself. But boy, if I can have Jeff and Allison come over, and I can have Josh and Tiffany join me, I think this is doable. And Josh will be out there with his sword ready to whack up, boom, anybody that comes close to us. I know that. He's ready while we work. And Tiffany's in there. She's got the sword of the Spirit. She's just praying and all. Oh, man, we're going to be able to accomplish this as we join together. By ourselves, we're going to be isolated. The enemy's just going to come in, forces, and find porous pockets in our walls. But together, God's going to establish us as a force. So where do you fit into all this? Where do you fit with your calling? Where do you fit with your purpose? Where do you fit with what God is saying to you in this season? What's he stirring in your heart, in your life right now? What's he calling you to be a part of? We've as a church have had a number of opportunities, and in fact, Love Life, we're going to continue our working relationship with them. We're praying about how we can financially partner with them in 2020 as well. But we want to be there to help rescue lives. Unborn babies that are being slaughtered every day of the week. We want to be a part of that. There are other aspects of opportunity in our community that we're connected with. Every time Ben and Nadia go out, every time Greg goes out, every time any one of us is in that place of opportunity, we're connected to those people. And we're blowing the trumpet to say, how can we come alongside along the wall to partner with our brothers and sisters in this battle? Let's close our eyes a moment. Pardon me. I just believe the Lord wants to restore to us today some vision. I think some of us have just been run over. Some of us have had vision in our hearts and we've been run over by the enemy's lies. And some of it is just maybe the stuff of life. Life happened. Life got complicated. Life got more serious. But I feel like I've left some of those dreams and visions God put within my heart. I believe the Lord today wants to do some restoring in our hearts. He wants to do some rebuilding of some good walls of protection. Some things that are going to bring life to us that we could step out in. So here's what I'm going to ask. In just a moment, I'm going to invite us to stand as we pray. I'm going to say, if that's a place where you feel God is provoking you and stirring your heart, He's saying to you today, I want to rebuild something in you that I've put in your heart in the past, but the enemy has robbed. Darkness has robbed. Stuff has stood in the way. And you're feeling like today God wants to do some restoring. I want to invite you, when we stand, just to come on up to the front. We're going to pray, lay hands on you and pray for you for an impartation of the Holy Spirit. Just as we've been talking about this morning, the breath of God breathing upon you, fresh vision in life. Now, some of you are feeling that, you know, you're even feeling it visibly. There's almost palpitation in your heart saying, yes, I need to go. I need to be restored to vision. I need to be encouraged in this way. Don't hesitate then. In just a moment as we stand, make your way up here to the front. We're going to join with you and pray with you and believe God to impart faith and strength. And what it's like, it's going to be like us blowing the trumpet and calling attention to that part of the wall to say, we need others to gather here because we need this person to be able to fight again. Thank you, Lord. God, we're so thankful that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that every tongue that rises up against us shall be refuted, that we as your people can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we take faith to the saving of our souls. We take the righteousness of God to declare we will rebuild. We're going to stand in the gap to rebuild our part of the wall and to partner with our brothers and sisters to help them rebuild theirs. In Jesus' name, let's stand together as we're going to